We want to welcome you this afternoon for Impact, the Bible and Current Events for this Monday afternoon, November the 1st. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for telling other folks to tune in. We appreciate all of our audience. It's growing. We can tell that our audience is growing for this broadcast, and we are most delighted to have new friends who are listening to our treatment of the Scriptures here at this time of the evening. I want to remind you that we have a free book, hardback book, another book for you, over 100 pages. It's entitled The Birth of the Nation of Israel. The Birth of the Nation of Israel, and it deals with the fact that God in prophecy brought the Jewish people back home. This happened in our lifetime. In May of 1948, the new nation of Israel was founded, and five major wars have taken place in that part of the world when the Jewish people were finally brought back home and established in the Middle East. And so this is an incredible book. And by the way, there's a lot of surprises in it, because it deals with personalities and people that God used to establish the nation of Israel again. For example, do you know the role of Franklin Roosevelt? Do you know the role of Winston Churchill in the establishment of the nation of Israel? You're going to be pleasantly surprised, because we deal with these two personalities in politics and how they played a part in God's plan of bringing the Jews back home. The book is yours. Give us a phone call and leave on the phone, on the answering machine, your name and address clearly, slowly, distinctly, and we'll be sure and get the book right out to you. The phone number is 254-675-2681. 254-675-2681. One more time. 254-675-2681. Free hardback book valued at least around $15 or more. A beautiful cover, and what a read that you'll have in looking at how God brought the Jewish people back home as prophesied. We're living in prophetic days. We're living in prophetic days. And you know, the Bible presents about four different steps, certainly three different steps that will bring us to the more dramatic end times. And first is the apostasy of the church. I believe we're into the apostasy of the church, and many of my friends and theologians believe the same thing. The next event is the rapture of the church, that is, true believers will be called home to be with the Lord to get us out of the way of the seven-year tribulation predicted by Christ, by Paul, by Jeremiah, and that period is, I believe, far closer than we can imagine. And then comes the kingdom, where the Lord Jesus, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and he establishes his millennial reign in Jerusalem that will be with the Jewish people at the core, but his reign is really worldwide for 1,000 years. But we want to pick up on the story, and we want to look at how God chose the Jewish people, how he chose the Jewish people. You know, there's two nations on earth that have been specifically blessed. One is the Jewish people. They were given the revelations and the law from Moses, and they're the ones who brought forth the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Redeemer, and the one who will be someday king over this entire world. And then secondly is America. That's why we grieve so much to see what's coming upon this nation, because this nation has been more blessed than any other people on earth besides the Jewish people. And so these two nations, Israel and America, have been most blessed. By the way, I'm always asked, are we in the Bible? Is America mentioned in Scripture? And I don't believe so, because I believe that America will turn away from the Lord. I believe that America is going to apostatize. In fact, I think it's already in the process of turning away from the Lord. And we're going to be just like another nation, just another pagan nation, because we have walked away from the Word of God. Well, let's talk about the choosing of the Jewish people, their election, the election of the Jewish people, and it began with Abraham. Before he had any offspring, God had made a solemn and irrevocable promise that through his descendants, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That includes us. We will be blessed by the descendants of Abraham. To emphasize this truth, Abraham's name was changed to that of Abraham, to indicate that he would become the father of, that is, the spiritual father of many nations. The Jewish rabbis say the change of name emphasizes his mission. which is to bring all peoples of the earth under the wings of the Shekinah. The Shekinah, the very glory and presence of God. These promises were confirmed to Abraham's next two generations, to his son Isaac, and then to Isaac's son Jacob. And of course, from Jacob, we have the 12 tribes. The 12 sons and the 12 tribes will come through Jacob. The election of Israel as God's special people leaves, therefore, no room for national pride and boastfulness. Had God selected one of the existing nations, such a choice might have implied a certain superiority over other nations. But in choosing Israel, God had not singled out one nation in preference to all other nations. He brought a non-existing people into being. Do you follow that? He brought a non-existing people into being. That is, Isaac was not even born when God made all the promises. So the Lord brought a non-existing people into being for a certain definite mission. We read the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Quote, Jehovah did not set his love upon you, upon Israel, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because Jehovah loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, has Jehovah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. End quote. God's choosing of the Jewish people was a sovereign work that would bring blessings to the entire world, including the sending of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a Jew. The story is not over concerning him. He'll someday reign over all the nations of the earth. That's what this book is about. This book that we're looking at right now that I want to send to you, The Birth of the Nation of Israel. The regathering of Israel back to the promised land that belongs to them. Those of us who study the Bible carefully believe that day is drawing extremely close. We're getting closer and closer, folks. Let's talk a moment about the law of Moses. You know, the Jews were given God's laws and his righteous commands in what is called the Torah. The 613 commands that were revealed to Moses. 613. Many of these commands form the basis of human civilization as we know it. Without this law code, this right from wrong, good and evil, and how people are to act would be unknown or limited to the nations of the world. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now listen to this carefully. Keep therefore these commandments and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, end quote, because they have the laws of God. The failure of the Jewish people during the ages contains a solemn warning to both Christians and the world in general. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 11, quote, be not high-minded, you Gentile Christians. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that is Israel, neither will he spare you, the Gentile world. The Lord said in the Old Testament, he said this, listen to this, this is incredible. Part of this is from Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be unto me a peculiar treasure from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The first time we are told how God proposed to fulfill his promise to Abraham, that in his seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To bring this about, to achieve this end, God had appointed Israel to be the mediator nation between him and the nations of the earth. This Abrahamic covenant, will be finally fulfilled when the Jews are kept safe in the Holy Land and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is reigning and ruling over them and over the entire world. Many do not believe in the millennial kingdom of Christ, but the Jews have already returned to the Holy Land. They're now waiting for the coming of Jesus the Messiah. The Lord made it clear. Listen to what he said in Jeremiah chapter 33 and also in chapter 31. Listen to this. If my covenant of day and night shall stand, stands not, I should say. Let me reread that. If my covenant of day and night stands not, And if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I also cast away the seed of Israel and of David my servant, so that I will not take of his seed to be rulers over the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thus says Jehovah, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, the Lord who stirs up the sea, so that the waves thus roar, Jehovah of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, says Jehovah, then the children of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. But will the ordinances of sun and moon and day and night cease with God, and the stars and so forth, will that cease? Will those ordinances stop? No, they will not. Thus, Israel will always, always be a nation that belongs to the Lord. Always. And can you believe it? There are people who say that God is through with the Jews. How silly. He is not finished with the Jews. And we can say that he's finished with the Jews if we see the ordinances of sun and moon cease and stop. Then God is finished with Israel. A scholar, a Jewish scholar by the name of Kak, K-A-C, that's his name, sounds strange, Kak. Kak notes that these are but a few of the verses that reminds us of the survival of the Jewish people. The same truth is implied in the various passages dealing with the national restoration of the Jewish people. The Lord adds, quote, "For all that they have done, their sins, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. For I am Jehovah their God. I will not break my promises." Finally, the Lord said this in Leviticus chapter 26, "I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am Jehovah." I am Jehovah. God is not through with Israel. God still has a purpose and a plan for the Jewish people. You know, we're in the dispensation of the church age right now. And when the Lord Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom, the world will move into the dispensation of the kingdom. And that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that to take place. Well, let's talk about the rebirth of the people of Israel. You know, in ancient times, great nations begin to take shape in the broad and vast territory of the Middle East. This area is known as the cradle of civilization. But the problem was obvious. These peoples were clearly pagan, worshiping a multitude of gods who were part of the pantheon of the deities of the heavens. Earlier, the plants and stars were identified as the gods of the universe. While they had supreme power, they also were like human beings who could do evil, could war with each other, and live out their mortal-like existence in terrible immorality. Yes, the gods of the pagans were something else. They killed each other. They had affairs with each other. Goodness gracious, they were just human gods. To restore the human race, the God of the Scriptures brought Abram, and by the way, his name means High Father. Abram means High Father. And part of his family out of pagan Ur, in order to isolate him and execute a plan that would bring redemption to mankind. His name was changed to Abraham, father of a multitude. Well, God made a covenant, a contract, an agreement with him, with Abraham, Abraham, in order to bring salvation. His name, as we mentioned, was changed from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. The covenant that God made is known as the Abrahamic covenant, which has three principal parts that would shape world history. Now listen to this. This forms your history textbook, if you will. Number one, he would be granted, that is, Abraham would be granted by the Lord a land at the time known as the land of Canaan. Number two, his children would become a great nation. Not necessarily in size, but in terms of its worldwide influence. And number three, Abraham would be blessed with his name made great, and he would, quote, bless all the families of the earth, end quote. No people on earth have had such a spiritual and even secular influence on the course of history. In a sovereign act, the Lord would, quote, give this land, end quote, Canaan, to Abraham's descendants. Traveling many thousands of miles from Ur down to Canaan, Abraham followed the voice of God, who by a miracle was leading him out of the clutches of paganism to a bright future that would reshape the spiritual thinking of the world. Abraham was so moved that he built an altar to the Lord, quote, who had appeared to him, end quote, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham would become the great example of how one becomes righteous with God. That is, how one is saved eternally by God the Heavenly Father. Abraham was reckoned or considered righteous before the Lord by his trust and faith in what God had said. Now that's given to us in Genesis 15:6, and that's one of the most important passages in the Old Testament. Genesis 15:6. Because Abraham believed God, and his belief was accredited to him or accounted to him for righteousness. He was then seen as a righteous man because of his trust in what God had told him. The Apostle Paul says in the New Testament that this is the way we're redeemed and justified in the mind of God, by our faith, our trust in what he says. And in our case, we're saved by faith in trusting in Christ as our Savior. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. You and I are blessed with him by our faith in Christ. In the New Testament, the writer to the Hebrews tells us this, quote, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, that is, to a land, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's in Hebrews 11, verse 8. Abraham went out from his homeland, Ur. He was following the voice of God, but had no idea where he was going. Well, he would be given a land that God had promised him. Abraham lived as a stranger, an alien, in the land of promise, or in the land promised to him, as if in a strange, foreign land, dwelling in tents with his son and grandson, Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. But God was telling him something very important. He was told to look for a city, quote, which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God, end quote. This would ultimately be Jerusalem, though Abraham did not know it at the time. This city would be the capital of the millennial kingdom, where his distant son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would rule over the entire world. Though originally Abraham was impotent and could not have children, at the age of 90, he had Ishmael by Sarah's handmaid. This was not the son God intended, but God wasn't finished now. When he was 100, when Abraham was 100, Sarah would bear for him Isaac, or Yitzhak. By the way, his name means he who laughs. He who laughs. And through him, he would have, quote, many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore, that is uncountable. Uncountable. You cannot count all the children that would come forth from Abraham. God caused Abraham to wait for many years before he could bear children. Many of these children who were conceived years later died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen the promises and having welcomed them from a distance, they confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Thus, Abraham's family was, quote, seeking a country of their own, end quote. For a season, the Jews would have a kingdom under King David, and then the kingdom would continue under his son Solomon. But a great tragedy occurred because of sin. The nation was divided. It was divided in two by a civil war. The glory and blessing God intended would be postponed. Most of the kings that followed were evil or certainly weak. The kingdom the Lord desired was yet to come about. It will be restored in the distant future with the son of David, the Messiah, who will arrive and rule for 1,000 years. This is the millennial kingdom that the Jews are still waiting for. It would be through Abraham's grandson, Yaakov or Jacob, that the 12 tribes would come. Their names are mentioned in Genesis chapter 49. Let me list them for you. Reuben, Levi, and Levi is the priestly tribe. Judah, and that he would form the kingly tribe. Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now, we don't think of Joseph as a tribe because Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they form independent tribal peoples. And so if you take away the name Joseph and insert Ephraim and Manasseh, you come up with the 12 tribes. The kingdom is to be restored. The promised restoration of the kingdom begun by David is mentioned throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. It was mentioned to Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the angel Gabriel. This is what we have in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Mary, you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Yeshua. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob or Israel forever, and his kingdom will have no end. No end to his kingdom. Further, it said in Acts chapter 3, and Jesus the Christ is appointed for you, Israel, whom heaven must receive. The Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven. Until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Romans chapter 11 and also Isaiah 59, listen to what these verses say. Quote, a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and thus all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he'll remove ungodliness from Jacob or Israel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And with that, the apostle is quoting the new covenant from Jeremiah chapter 31. The covenant with them when I take away their sins. Jeremiah 31. Many are surprised at the size of the millennial kingdom when it's established and when the Messiah arrives. The Lord, when he made the covenant with Abraham, said this. Now listen to this. To your descendants, your seed, I have given this land from the river of Egypt, possibly the Nile, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Oh, my word. But the core of the land is Canaan, which is only about 40 miles wide and 100 miles long. But the outer limits of the land are thousands of square miles. This will be the Jewish territory during the worldwide reign of Christ when he rules over the whole earth. There are two stages to the Jewish hope. One stage has to do with an earthly inheritance of the land that will constitute the last chapter of world history as we know it. The promised land will be occupied for 1,000 years with the Messiah ruling. But there's also a heavenly hope and a great spiritual anticipation for a heavenly possession. The Jewish scholar Steve Gurr explains this perfectly. This is what Gurr writes. And this is profound. Gurr says this, the author of Hebrews explains that Abraham's perspective was based on expectations that far exceeded that of a receipt of a national homeland in which to pitch his intended family's tents. Let me read that again. I didn't read Gurr quite clear. The author of Hebrews explains that Abraham's perspective was based on expectations that far exceeded that of a receipt of a national homeland in which to pitch his extended family's tents. Abraham's faith involved a forward-looking perspective that realized the certainty of future hope. The promised land was just an appetizer. For Abraham, the main course was the heavenly Jerusalem, the transcendent city of cities, the apex of architectural contemplation, whose designer and builder is God himself. the heavenly Jerusalem, the crowning climax of God's provision. Thus, this very natural Jewish expectation is briefly described in John's book of Revelation. And the author cites without explanation, clarification, or qualification, his own expectation of this great city for the kingdom. Thus, the final chapter of history will be the kingdom reign of Christ in the Holy Land, in what's called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. For history to end, this kingdom will come to pass. The nation of Israel will be restored, and this has already started, folks. This has already started. The restoration of the land, the bringing back of the Jewish people. The Jews are back in the land, in fact, but they await the arrival of God's Son, the promised Messiah. The writer of Hebrews summarizes this way. Listen, since we are to be receiving to ourselves a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For here on earth, we do not have a lasting city presently, but we're seeking the city which is to come. The kingdom, the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which is to come. By the way, it's also called the city of the great king, the golden city. The capital city, Jerusalem, is to be glorified when God's Son reigns within its walls. The Holy Land will be blessed and honored for 1,000 years. The author of Genesis, Moses, summarizes well what was happening with Abraham. He said this in Genesis 18, quote, Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he had spoken about him. What great promises we have in Scripture. Well, the establishment of the nation. We want to talk about that in the next coming weeks when God will establish the nation of Israel. He's already begun the process. They became a nation in May of 1948. While the great nations of the earth were flourishing, mainly in the Middle East, God was unfolding a plan that had to do with the Jewish people. There was ancient Babylon, centered around the great city of Ur, located on the Tigris-Euphrates rivers. There was Egypt, Assyria, and Neo-Babylon. To the west, there was developing Greece and Rome, two peoples that would be so influential in later generations. The sojourn in Egypt would have a profound influence on the Jewish people. They would, for a period, be removed from the Promised Land. This would prepare them for receiving the law, when they would be redeemed from Egypt by the Lord's great servant Moses. The Jews in the 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob, had entered Egypt around 1875 BC. They were placed into captivity as slaves, but then led out by Moses in 1445 BC. They had become great in number, but they had also forgotten their God. And Moses had to introduce them all over again to the Lord, their God. We're going to pick this up and continue on about how God dealt with the Jewish people in a very, very profound way. Here's the phone number. If you want the new free book, The Birth of the Nation of Israel, give us your name and address clearly, 254-675-2681. Our time is gone, and may the Lord now bless you the rest of this day. And I mean it, may He bless you real good.